Grab your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter number 1. We've been in Hebrews chapter 1 for a number of months, and actually Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, we've been in just verse 9 for a couple of months now. Today we are launching out into verse number 10 after all this time in verse number 9. We didn't even exhaust verse number 9, we just kind of scratched the surface about what was going on. But now we're going to launch into verse number 10 and find out some things for today. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10 and then tell you what the title of today's message is. Hebrews chapter number 1. Verse number 10 says this, "And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." So we find out something about God as we're reading. Remember that we're talking about the Son, we're talking about the preeminent one, the one who is before all things, the one who is above all things, and now we find out that he is the one who made all things. You, Lord, in the beginning, it's reminiscent of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now applied to Jesus, you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. Jesus was the vehicle by which God created everything that we know and that we see, and even the stuff that we don't see. And it says, "And the heavens are the work of your hands." Today, I want to talk to you about our Creator God. You see, it's one thing for us to have an understanding about who Jesus is as the preeminent one and as the one that's above all things. But it's quite another thing when we start to realize that he is the creator. He is the one that made everything. He is the one who formed and fashioned the heavens and the earth and all of the things in the earth. Even our very person, our very body, our very lives, God is the one who created us and made us. He is the creator God. Now, I find that most people have an understanding of creation that is just a simple flannel board understanding. Do you know what I mean when I say flannel board? You ever been in the children's church and they've got those boards that are made out of flannel, and they have these little flannel pieces that they stick to the board and they show the kids. It's just a little illustration, a little visual for them to understand about some biblical principles. Many people know that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and that's about where it stops. Some people get off in this area and they start to argue and they start to wonder and they start to inquire and they get into these veins and these streams of teaching. Well, how did God create the heavens and the earth? Was it God that spoke and it caused the Big Bang and then that caused evolution and then that caused where we're at? Did God create the world in 7 days? Was it a literal 7 days? Was it seven ages? What was it? How did God do that? How does that line up with what we see in science and what we see that people are discovering? Is it billions of years old or is it tens of thousands of years old? What is it? Is it intelligent design? Is it creationism? Is it evolutionism? What is it? And I believe that they're asking the wrong question. The reason why is because the Word of God is very clear that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that he created it in 7 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. 6 days of creation, seventh day, he rested. I don't know how that works. I don't understand that. And let me tell you the truth. No one knows because nobody was there. Nobody understands that to its fullness. But all we need to know is that God did it. That settles it. We believe it. It's in the Word. So the point is let's not argue about whether or not it was a literal 7 days or seven ages or what. Who cares about that stuff? What I care about is what does it mean to me today that Jesus Christ is my Creator God? What does that mean to me today? How am I supposed to live my life in light of the fact that I have a Creator God? I'm going to make a statement. We're going to go through and complete the statement 5 times in 5 different ways to get a better understanding. And here's the statement. It says, because God is the Creator, we know. We ought to know some things. We ought to have an understanding about what it is that God is speaking to us about himself through him being the creator. Because God is the creator, we know some things. We're going to go fast, so I need you to lock in, get ready. If you get a hold of one of these things today, you're going to be blessed. If you get a hold of all 5 of them, you're going to be super abundantly blessed. But listen, get a hold of what you can, take some notes, refer to them throughout the week, and just lock into wherever you're at, whichever one speaks to you. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of the verses in the scripture that we're going to take a look at today. Write it down and remember it so that you can come back to it and remember that when you see creation, when you understand what God is doing, when you see your Creator God, you know how you're supposed to live your life in light of that. Because God is the Creator, we know that number one, nothing is impossible for him. If God can come and he can speak and planets exist, if God can breathe life into dirt and make it into a man. If God can create and God can decree and declare and things happen, things take place, then what is too hard for God? Nothing is impossible for God. See, when you look at the creation and when you understand how vast and how large and how deep and how wide it is, and then you realize that in the Bible it says that God stretches out the heavens. My goodness, that's a big God. You know, they haven't even found the edge of the universe yet. They've been looking into these high-powered telescopes, and they can't even count the number of stars that are out there because they haven't even found the edge of what is our universe yet. It goes on and on and on and on, and they say it's expanding. The reason why is because they're seeing more and more and more. And yet God is the one who's bigger than all that and who stretches it out with his hands. Oh yeah, it's expanding because God is pulling it out. You see, when you get an understanding of that, what's too hard for God? What is too hard for your God? The prophet Jeremiah was thinking about this, and he was praying for understanding. And turn there with me in the book of Jeremiah, there in the Old Testament. Prophet Jeremiah, we're going to go to chapter number 32. And in Jeremiah chapter number 32, verse number 17, Jeremiah is praying, and he has one of those aha moments with God. You know what I mean by that? Aha. It's almost like, Eureka, I found something out. I understand about this now. So here's Jeremiah, he's praying for understanding. All of a sudden, the light goes on above his head, and he understands what it is through creation. Let's take a look at it together. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 17. Jeremiah's praying, and he says this. He says, "Ah, Lord God," there it is, aha, I understand it, God. I see it now, God. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." What is he saying? He says, "You are Creator God. I understand it now." Look at this. "There is nothing too hard for you." In other words, when Jeremiah understood that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, all of a sudden he looked at his life and he said, "What's too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for you." Now let me tell you about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is considered to be the weeping prophet. He was the one that when he pronounced the judgments and when he spoke the word of God, tears were flooding his eyes, running down his face. Jeremiah even said, I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to say this stuff anymore, God. But when he tried to shut up the word of God on the inside of him, it was like a fire in his bones and he couldn't hold it in. And so Jeremiah oftentimes would be preaching with this anguish that was upon him. And as he would preach, the people would get mad at him. They locked him in jail. They drug him out of jail. They threw him in a cistern. He sank down in the mud. They pulled him out. They dragged him back into jail. They dragged him to a country he didn't want to go to. Everybody around him was killed. And then he came back and he went back into captivity. And here's this guy that's facing these circumstances that are just unbelievable. He had opposition on every side. Everybody was hating on him. And yet, when he considers the heavens and the earth and he says, "Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Now let's bring it home real quick. What is it that you're facing? When you go home today, what is going to be staring you in the face? When you walk in and you see your family, who's looking at you? What situations are facing you? When you go to work tomorrow, you strap on your boots, put on your pants, get your shirt on, brush your teeth, and you go into the job. What is it that's staring you in the face? What obstacles are there in your path to overcome? When you take a look at your checkbook and when you look at your finances or your lack thereof, hello. What's too hard for God? Let me ask you something. God created the heavens and the earth, right? That means that God knows what he put into the earth. God knows where every little bit of gold is on this planet. And if God can put all that stuff into the earth and knows where it all is, don't you think that he could get you the resources that you need to live your life each and every day? I should have had a bigger amen than that. Amen. See, God can take care of us. There is nothing too hard for God. Relationship issues, financial issues, security issues, whatever it is, whatever situation you're facing, consider the heavens and the earth. That's why the psalmist said, "I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from?" He was discouraged, and yet he says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." If God can create the heaven and the earth, God can take care of my life right where I'm at, right now. Can you say amen? Amen. So number one, because God is the creator, we know that nothing is impossible for him. Number two, we know that he who created will also complete. Remember that Jesus in the Bible is called the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is also the author and the finisher of our faith. And he who created also completed the work of creation. You remember the story in Genesis chapter number one. It says that for 6 days God created, and on the seventh day he did what? He rested. Why did he rest? It's okay to talk to me. Why did he rest? Wait, what? He was tired? Wait, he was weary? He didn't have any more resources? Wait, he ran out of money? No. Why did God rest? He was done. He finished the work of creation. He completed the work that he had to do, and therefore on the seventh day, he rested. In the same way, you and I, when God starts something on the inside of us, we know that God is going to complete that on the inside of us. When you were born again, you were made a new creation in Christ Jesus. God spoke you into existence. Now your spirit man is born again. You are a brand new creation. But God doesn't say, hey, now you're born again, just work it out. Just do it on your own. That's it. No mas. You just do your thing, and hopefully I'll see you in heaven. God doesn't do that. No. What God starts, God is faithful to complete, faithful to finish. Let's take a look at it in the Word. Philippians chapter 1. Remember where you were at in Jeremiah. We're going to go back to a book close to Jeremiah, but turn with me to the New Testament, Philippians chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he's writing from jail. Paul is locked up. He's in chains. Now, Paul had an assignment that was given to him by God. God started something in Paul when he got born again. He said, Paul, I want you to go and I want you to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Gentiles were the people outside of the covenant of Israel, people who had no relationship with God. And he said, I want you to reach everybody outside of Israel. I want you to go out to the world and I want you to preach the gospel and carry this gospel of grace and salvation to these people who are without me. So Paul goes out and he starts preaching. And did you know what happened to Paul? Every bit of opposition that could come against him did. He was shipwrecked, he was beat, he was stoned, he was left for dead, he was drug out of the cities. He had all sorts of people raging at him, he had confusion, there were riots, there was all sorts of stuff coming against Paul. And now here's Paul locked up in jail, and you would think, well, wait a second, God, you started this work and now it stops here in jail? And yet when we read the book of Philippians, we don't see Paul discouraged and despondent and, oh my goodness, I don't know how God's going to finish what he started. No, we find Paul, he's almost like jumping up and down, just excited, smiling, happy, joyful. Why? Because he knows something about our God. Look at this, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 says this. It says, being confident of this very thing. What does that mean? That means you can be assured. You can rest assured. Just as God rested on the seventh day, you can rest your head and know something about God. Being confident of this very thing. What is that? That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you in San Bernardino terms. God isn't going to leave you hanging. Come on, somebody. God's not started something in you to just leave you out there. He who began the good work will be faithful to complete it in you. See, God created and God completed and then God rested. In the same way, you and I, we don't have to strive. We don't have to make something happen on our own. No, we have to rest in the fact that we know that God started the work and God will be faithful to complete it in me. In your life, whatever it is that God has called you to do. Sometimes we give up so easily on God, we don't see results right away. We don't see things coming to pass in the time frame we wanted. But listen, don't give up. Don't let down. Don't quit. Because why? He who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Creator God. Because God is the creator, we know some things. We know that number one, that nothing is impossible for him. We know that number two, he who created will also complete. And number three, we know that he understands how life works. Now, I want you to take a trip with me for a second in your thinking. Think about this for a moment. God knows all of the systems that he has put in place here on earth. Think about ecosystems. You think about, you know, different plants and different animals and all the different stuff that goes on. You think about the oceans and the relationship the ocean has with the moon. And God understands all of that. The reason why God understands it is because God set it up. So in order for God to set it up and have it work properly, he has to understand why it does what it does. Now, men have been studying this for years, and we found out some things, and maybe if you remember the food chain. How many of you guys remember the food chain? You say, yeah, Pastor, I remember that. It's that big triangle, right? No, different class. Okay, get out of health class, come back, okay. The food chain is the circle one, right? And you start with like an alligator, and the alligator eats the bird, and the bird eats the gnats, and the gnats eat the algae, which the algae feeds off the alligator, right? You guys remember the food chain like that? Some of you learned something today. Praise God. So the food chain, you take any piece out of that food chain, and the whole thing fails. Why? Because God set it up to work a certain way. In the same way, you and I, we breathe in oxygen, right? We breathe out carbon dioxide. The trees and the plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen, right? There is a symbiotic relationship. The two need each other. You take one out of the equation, the other one fails. God understands the systems that he has set up on the earth. And if God understands those systems, then God understands your life. Let me show it to you in the Word. I'm going to put a verse up on the overhead. Job chapter number 26, verse number 7. Just take a look at it up on the overhead. It says this. It says, he stretches out the north over empty space. Look at this. He hangs the earth on nothing. Can you imagine that? Here's God, and he hangs the earth on nothing. Spins it around and sets it on its axis and sends it around the sun. Now, some people at this point will say, no, he doesn't set it on nothing. He said there's a gravitational pull of the sun. The sun keeps the earth in its right orbit and right distance around this. Let me ask you something. What's the sun sitting on? Huh? Nothing. Oh, no, wait. The sun is part of a massive galaxy, the Milky Way, and the Milky Way has its own gravitational pull, too. Well, what did he set the Milky Way on? Oh, well, the Milky Way is a part of a vast, you know, galaxy cluster, and it's a part of the... Listen, you want to go there? Let's go there. What did he put it on? Is it on his cosmic dinner table? Is it sitting in his fridge? No, God set it up on nothing. God put it there, he placed it there, and even though you can't see it, you know that it works. Why? Because what goes up must come down. If you jump, gravity's going to take effect and pull you back to that place. In the same way, God understands your life, and God has set up systems in your life, and even though you can't see them, they still work regardless. That's why God says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? You can't see it. You can't understand it. You can't explain it away. It works, though. How about this one? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. That means that your life, God can hang it on faith, on prayer, and on the Word of God. You can't see him, but you can feel those things pulling you back to a place of stability with God. He hangs the earth on nothing, and he can establish your life on the unseen things. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, amazing verse. Turn there with me to the book of Isaiah. You were just in Jeremiah a little while ago. One book back from Jeremiah is Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. And in Isaiah chapter number 40, there's a great verse, verse number 28. God is speaking. And in Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 28, it says this. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Listen, when God starts asking questions like this, we better perk up and find out what he's talking about. Because if God says, have you not known, you ought to know it. And if God says, have you not heard, you ought to listen. Okay? So have you not known, have you not heard, look at this, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. There's our creator God. Now look at what it describes him as. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. See, we don't always understand the systems. We don't always know what it is that God is doing. And yet, you're not going to weary God by coming to him. He neither faints nor is weary. That's why on the seventh day when he rested, it wasn't because he was tired. God doesn't get weary. God doesn't get faint. So in the middle of the night, if you're coming to him, and you wake up in the morning and you're coming to him, in the middle of the day, you're coming to him, and late in the afternoon, you're going to God. Before you go to bed at night, you're going to God. You are not going to weary God with asking him questions and finding out and getting an understanding with him. Why? Because his understanding is unsearchable. Your entire life you can search the depths of God and not even scratch the surface of what there is to know about our Creator God. Let me give you an example that each and every one of us in this room can identify with. Tithing. Got real quiet just now. He said, Pastor, did you have to go there? Yes, I have to go there. Here's the reason why. Because tithing is a system set up by God that God understands. You take your entire income, you set aside 10%, and you sow that into the kingdom of God at the local church, the storehouse, where you're getting fed. Then the 90% that you have left over, God puts his blessing on that 90%, and he makes it spend like whatever you need. Brings resources into your life, puts extra stuff in there. There's blessings, there's increase, there's supernatural things that happen with that 90%. Why? Because you operated in the system of what it is that God has called you to do. You don't understand it, you don't see it, but God hangs your financial life on nothing. As you obey what God does, his understanding is unsearchable. Now, I use that example. How many of you can testify with me and say, it works? I don't know how it works, but it works. Look at that. Tithers all over the place saying amen. Why? Because the system works. Here's another one. Here's a good one. God calls us to love one another, right? Just as he has loved us. People be hating on you, turn their back on you, gossip about you, mess with you, steal stuff from you. And God says, bless those who persecute you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Why would God do that? These people are being mean to me, God. And you're wanting me to pray for them and love them and bless them? What are you talking about? See, God understands the system. He who waters will himself be watered. What you sow, you will reap. You don't understand it, you don't see it, and yet when you operate in it, it works. God understands it. So that means when God tells you what to do and how to do it, he isn't some control freak in the heavenlies who thrives on micromanaging our lives. But rather, it's because God loves us and because he understands life, he understands how it works, he understands the outcomes, that he gives us these directions in order for us to succeed and be blessed in every area of our life. Can you say amen? Okay, so we're finding out what it is we should know, that because God is our creator, we should know some things. Next one, number four, is that he gives life order. The one who spoke and created everything and brought order to it is the same one who spoke peace to the storm and stilled it. And now today he can speak order into your life if you will let him. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, here's the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, and it was chaotic. It was just without form. It was void. And here God is, and God starts to speak, let there be light. Let there be a firmament above and beneath. Let the waters be separated. Let the land be separated from the... What is God doing? God is speaking, and he's causing order out of chaos. Somebody in this room came in this morning, and you said, you know what? My life is chaotic. I don't understand what's going on. Everything's crazy, Pastor. I just can't get it together. I can't get a hold on everything. You know, the finances are out of control. My kids are out of control. My husband or wife is out of control. On the job, I've got no serenity. I got no peace, and everything is chaotic. Well, lift up your head. Look to your Creator, because he is the one that speaks to chaos and brings order out of it. You're there in Isaiah chapter 40. Turn a couple pages over to Isaiah chapter 48. And in Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to take a look at verse number 13. Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 13. God is speaking, and he says this. He says, indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. Look at this. When I call to them, they stand up together. What is God saying? God's saying, I don't mix words. Why? Because when I speak, stuff happens. What does that mean for you and I? That means that when you and I feel out of control, chaotic, things aren't lining up the way that we think that they should, it's time to rise up, look to your Creator God, start to declare the Word of God, and speak forth what God has called us to say over our situation. And as you do, the Word of God goes into effect, and when God speaks, things happen. Amen. Let me give you a natural example of this. Healing. Sometimes people say, oh, God, I pray that you just heal me. And then they leave it at that. And then the symptoms come back and they say, oh, God must not heal me. I must not be healed. But listen, when those symptoms come back, it's time for you to rise up and start to declare over yourself the word of God. By his stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. Body, get in line with the word of God, which says he is the Lord who heals me. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Devil, you have no place in me. You have no power here. I am healed. Symptoms, you must go. Body, line up with the word of God. And out of that chaos of your life, God commands order and commands a blessing. I like what Andrew Murray, the famous Scottish preacher, said. He said, my creator who orders all is my redeemer who blesses all. See, the same God who created the heavens and the earth is the same one who gave his life for you and I. And by his stripes, we were healed. Now he commands a blessing in our life. Final thing today that we can know because of our creator God, because God is our creator, we should know some things. Last one for today is that we can rejoice every day. I said we can rejoice every day. Maybe some of you guys don't remember last week when we were in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, that he has been anointed with the oil of joy more than his companions. What does that mean to us? That means that this creator God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, who made it all, now because we know him and because we have him in our hearts, we can rejoice every day. Very familiar scripture in the book of Psalms. You're there in Isaiah. Turn a couple books back to the book of Psalms. And in Psalm chapter 118, I want you to get a hold of this. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 118. Okay, find it in your Bible because I need you to take a look at this. We quote this verse all the time. We know it. We can say it. We declare it. We preach it. We do all this stuff. But I want you to get a hold of this in your Bible and take a look at this for yourself. Psalm 118 and verse number 24 we're going to take a look at in Psalm 118. Psalm 118 verse 24 says this. It says, this is the day. Everybody say, this is the day. Now say, that the Lord has made. Now put it together. This is the day that the Lord has made. You see that word made up there? You know what that means? That means that God formed it. That means that God fashioned it. That means that God's hand got involved in this day. The same word made is used 13 times in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, speaking of God making things and forming things and fashioning things. See, this is the day that the Lord has made. He created it. He formed it. He fashioned it. God got involved in it. God has his hand on it. God breathed his power and his spirit and his blessing on it. This is that day that the Lord has made. And now, because I know that, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, church. Come on, church. Put a smile on your face. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, sometimes people wake up in the morning and they say, oh man, I must have just got up on the wrong side of the bed. Listen, get back in bed and get out the other side because this is the day that the Lord has made. I woke up yesterday morning. I was coming here to preach at the Saturday morning service. And let me tell you something. My kids, I've got three beautiful children, all under the age of five. Now, how many of you know sleep is a precious commodity in our house? And yet, our youngest one, Titus, he was just up all night. I mean, the kid was up for hours at a time, just blocks of chunks of hours, crying. And as he's crying, my middle child, Micah, who is our passionate one, he wakes up and he's like, you know? And you just hear him all throughout the house. He's like, you know? And we're like, what, Micah? And he's like, Titus is waking me up, you know? We're like, oh, gosh, now. So we moved Titus into another room, this and that. And then in the morning, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, five-year-old Chloe over here sitting on the front row, my little miss, she's over there kicking her feet and being cute. And she was talking to my wife, Jess, and she says, Mommy, I was having the most beautiful dream. It was the most wonderful dream. And then I heard Micah. And I was like, man, everybody was up last night. And then, you know, with the winds and the different temperatures and all that kind of stuff, the allergies started flaring up and everybody's snotting and blowing their nose and crying and this and that. I'm in the car driving to work. I'm just like a mess. Probably the people that were coming to church were like, oh, look, there's Pastor Dan. He must be getting touched by the Holy Spirit. You know? But listen, we've got all sorts of reasons to complain. Got all sorts of reasons that we could be sourpusses and just get down on life and get discouraged and get depressed. Stuff's coming against you. Boss is on your case. Kids aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Husband or wife isn't treating you like you think you should be treated. But listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. When you trust in God, when you put your faith in God, when you realize that God got involved in today, God made the sun to rise, and God made the sky to shine, and God made the birds to sing, and God is ordering and directing your life. This is that day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Five things that we learned today, that because we know that God is the creator, we know these things. Number one, we know that nothing is impossible for him. Anything is not too hard for your God. Doesn't matter what you're facing, it's not impossible to God. Second thing we know is that he who created will also complete. God's not going to leave you hanging. You're not out there by yourself. God's got your back, and God will complete the work that he started in you. Third thing we know is that he understands how life works. God set up the systems. God knows what they do, and God knows the outcomes, and therefore, when you walk according to the ways of God, you'll get the outcomes that God knows and declares in your life. Fourth thing is, we know that he gives life order. When you have chaos in your life, when everything's crumbling all around you, you can stand and declare the word of God and speak the word of God, and God's word will bring order into your life. And finally, we know, number five, that we can rejoice every day, because this is that day that the Lord has formed and fashioned and got involved in. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. If you got something from the Word of God today, come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.